Welcome to Moolah Matters with Ina. South Africans do not have a great savings reputation, but maybe we can save more if we understand how to go about it and draw up a savings plan. The latest survey by Debt Rescue reveals that not being able to put money away at the end of each month is the biggest concern weighing on the minds of South Africans, with a massive 67% of people citing this as their biggest challenge when it comes to saving, although that is unsurprising due to the escalating cost of living. The survey was conducted among 2,000 South Africans aged between 25 and 65. It shows that the significant obstacles to saving people currently face, with 45% of respondents citing insufficient income to cover basic necessities as their biggest challenge. However, it is encouraging that the majority of respondents recognize how vital it is right now to have a nest egg of some kind and are actively looking for ways to improve their savings habits. Although 61% deemed saving extremely important, only 16% can save with every paycheck, and 50% of the respondents saved less than 5% of their income. Today, I'm talking to Gilly de Swart, Head of Retail Distribution at Sanlam Investments, about how to start saving and build a savings plan. Welcome, Gilly.
Well, good day, Ina. Thank you very much for having me today. It's really a privilege. And yeah, let's see if we can change or start a conversation around starting a savings culture and equipping your listeners with some practical means to get to that end and to give them comfort. You mentioned the statistics that it's very concerning, top of people's minds, that they can't save enough. So let's see if we can assist them in alleviating that pain or start a journey towards creating a savings plan.
Thank you. Do South Africans consumers save enough for a rainy day?
Well, you know, I think it's clear to see that you mentioned some statistics, like I mentioned at the beginning, that the answer is no. So it doesn't matter through which lens you look at it, whether it's saving for a rainy day, short-term type of savings, whether it's saving towards retirement. The quick answer is no, South Africans do not save enough. And even if you compare us to some of our peers in the other emerging markets, we are way, way behind with regards to our savings rate compared to our peers.
Well, we can see consumers are battling, and according to surveys, even the more affluent consumers are battling to make ends meet. How can a middle-class consumer find the money to save?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And I think it starts off by basically having a look at your spending habits currently. So what I would do if I'm a middle-class consumer is you basically go and look at your current spending habits. You draw up a budget. So in other words, what are you spending on what? And then you start having a look. You'll definitely get a clear picture very quickly on what it is you're spending your money on. And I mean, there's so many tools, banking apps, doesn't matter where you go and look for it. There's so many tools that can assist you. For people, you can even do it on a basic spreadsheet on Excel or just write it down. But from there, you'll get a very good idea of where are you spending your money? Are you spending it on essentials? Are you spending it on non-essentials? And then you start breaking it down to get an idea of where am I spending? Is it necessary? And then comes the decision about prioritizing. Where do you want to spend your money? And then more often than not, it's also a big issue, is that you will find that you are spending money on non-luxury items, things like bad debt, etc., etc. But we'll delve into that a bit later during this conversation. But start off by having a critical look on your current spending habits.
Why is it important to have a savings plan?
Well, I think it's quite simple. Is if you don't have a savings plan, it's like anything, then you won't save. So let's just make it practical. If you are someone concerned around your health, then the first thing you will do is you'll set yourself goals. You will probably get an eating plan, put that in place. You will empty your fridge and fill it up with things that you want to consume. You might even get a training partner or a coach that will keep you accountable. And I think it's the same thing with savings. We need to make it practical. We need to make it more tangible. It's sometimes I think people think finances is up in the air. It happens on statements and you can't make it practical. You need to make it practical. So with regards to that is, yes, you need to have a savings plan. Yes, you need to make it tangible. You need to prioritize. And then it's similar to any other goal or any other habit that you want to establish. You start off small, you start off sometimes, not that big. But once that habit settles in, then you will see it starts creating or generating momentum, and then it becomes easier over time. But I think the big thing with people is they don't make finances tangible, and they don't basically turn it into a plan. And guess what? If you don't have a plan, where are you going to end up? Well, you're probably not going to save.
So how do you go about making saving a habit?
Well, for me, I'm a very practical person. So for me, it would be, like I said, I would first of all start off with my current spending patterns. I would have a look at where can I cut, where are my essential, spend, where do I spend on luxury items, things I don't need. So I'm in a position where I've got a family and I'm raising children. And I think the big thing is if you've got children, there's a lot of things that they need. But it's actually not true. There's a lot of things that they want. So I think that's the big thing is you need to differentiate between your needs and your wants. And your needs are very often a lot less than your wants. So there's a lot of things we tell ourselves we need that we actually don't. And then, like I said, to make it practical for me, it's similar to coming back to the analogy around your health. Partner with someone, get yourself a coach, go to a financial advisor, or put a plan in place. And then basically from there, you also make it tangible in terms of, let's say, for instance, you want to save towards a holiday. Take a picture of the destination where you want to go. Put it against the fridge. Every time you walk past, you know what you're saving for. Mm-hmm. I think that's the other thing as well, is people need to understand what is the purpose of what they're saving for. And once you make it tangible, then it's quite obvious to see that, okay, maybe I don't need this item now because I'm saving towards that goal, but because that goal has got a purpose, it's tangible, it's something that I've realized I want to save towards, and it will give me great satisfaction if I can achieve it, then I think people will be more successful in implementing their financial plan.
Which bad habits do consumers have that makes them unable to save?
Yes, I don't think we've got enough time on this podcast for that. But I mean, I think the biggest bad habit that most people will definitely resonate with is bad debt. So in other words, it's coming back to your needs and your wants. There's a lot of things we want. Statistics also show that people live way beyond their means. So it's a combination of that peer pressure, living in this instant gratification world. You want things now. You want to compete with your friends, your neighbors. I almost say the Facebook generation, or what is it now, Instagram, and all those type of things. You want to show everybody you're living your life, you're successful, and to keep up those appearances, you live beyond your means. And I think that's the biggest issue. There's a lot of other smaller bad habits that you can, if you want to make it practical again, is going, simple example, going to a grocery store without a list of priorities. You just go through the aisles, and once you end up in the end going through all the aisles, you've got a basket or a trolley full of things that you don't actually need. It's not essential things. And I think so you can add on a lot of habits. Stopping at a fueling station to fill up your car, is it really necessary to walk into the quick shop and buy that sweet, that pie, or that Coca-Cola? Because, I mean, more often than not, it sounds simple. They are overpriced. It's something you don't need at that point in time. But I think it's around, once again, coming back to what is it you want? What is it you need? And then also putting those disciplines in place, almost having those little measurements to say, yes, maybe now I'm at a stage where, do I really need to do this? And once again, if I've got a purpose in mind, I see it in my mind's eye, I can make it almost tangible, then it would be easier to change those habits.
Must you wait to have a lot of extra money before you start saving? I mean, sounds a bit silly to start with a smaller amount like 10 rand.
Well, you can wait, but I can guarantee you, then you will never start. So it's an old cliche, but the hardest step is that first step, and then you get into a stride. So let's say you take 10 rand. Yeah, it sounds insignificant. You might not miss it even. You might not even see it in your budget going off. But once you start creating that habit, and I mean, take a stupid example, your 10 rand. I use the interest rate of 7.5%. I don't want to make it technical, but over a 5-year term, basically, if you receive an interest, you've got a savings vehicle that gives you a return. Over 5 years, you've got 20% more than someone that would have stuck it underneath their mattress. So the point is, I think, is once you start, that's the first thing. You need to start. If you start small, there's nothing wrong with that, but you will see once it gains momentum. Once again, once you start putting away, you will get that self-gratification from that. And all of a sudden, you'll see that all of a sudden, you might not even put away 10 rand. Now it's 20, 30, 40, 50 rand. And then it escalates. And like I said, if you put it in the right vehicles, then over the term where you generate a bit of interest, then you even see a better benefit than just sticking it in your little savings pig or whatever you've got at home. So that is the thing. It's like anything. The most difficult part is to start, but once you start, you make a massive difference over the long term, and you will see. Once you start and you get your priorities right, then all of a sudden, that little insignificant amount will contribute more or save more, out of your budget because you see the benefit and you know, once again, coming back to that purpose, you know why you're saving and you know why you're sacrificing, at that point in time. And that, I think if you combine all those things in, then people will be more successful in saving.
So, where do you keep your savings to ensure that you do not dip into it every time you go shopping?
Well, for me, it's simple. It's like the chocolates at home. If you've got your health plan, just put it out of reach. So first of all, let's take it out of sight. Take it out of your house. And in savings, it's the same thing. So in other words, just take it out of your bank account. Put it in a separate vehicle. Go and put it where you can't access it frequently. So in other words, is if you know you're someone that like to use your credit card, don't go and save it in your credit card because I'm guaranteeing you that you will spend it. So the first thing is, take it out of sight, put it in a vehicle specifically dedicated for that so that you can see the benefit. That's point number one. Point number two is take it out of reach so that you are more disciplined towards that. And I think that's the simple way to do it. For me, it's the simplest because once you start, almost want to say, diluting things and you put everything in one bank account and then you quickly lose track of what is going where in terms of your budget. So get a vehicle, a specific purpose for that savings that you're saving towards. If you're saving towards two, three, four different goals over different terms, you might have two, three, four different vehicles where you put it in, but then you know what the purpose of each vehicle is.
Can you be a bit more specific about the vehicles? Would a savings account do, or do you go for a fixed deposit?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And I think there's multiple of vehicles. And I think we run the risk of maybe excluding some of them in this discussion. But I think a good place to start with regards to savings is you go to a banking institution, you will get, anything from a 32-day or savings account, a 32-day notice account into a money market, different vehicles, fixed deposits over various terms. And all those vehicles have got certain benefits in terms of the interest they're giving you. They will also lock you in for a period of time or not, which could be to your benefit. So when we talk about savings, it is specifically putting money away where your capital is not at risk. So in other words, you don't want to get into a situation where you need the money and the money is less than what you put in. That is vehicles that you use over the long term. But specifically, I would say a financial institution like a bank, anything from a savings account up into a term deposit is the type of vehicles that you should consider when you talk about savings specifically.
Are savings the same as investments?
Well, you know, at the heart of it, they do have a, there's one similarity. So the one thing is that, yes, you need to save or take money out to invest. So in other words, it needs to be part of your budget and you need to contribute towards that. And I think that's the one similarity. But there are two, they are also vastly different. So savings is typically that you mentioned it, a rainy day account, or it's a money that you put away over a shorter period of time. So in other words, you should be able to access it when you need it in terms of that specific goal. But those goals are normally shorter term in nature. So in other words, anything from, let's say, a 1 month to let's call it 12, 18 month time horizon, if you want to add time to that, is the typically a vehicle that you would use for savings. The knock-on effect of that, or the it means that you can't go and put your savings, if you need it over the shorter term, into vehicles that's highly volatile. What does it mean? It means that you can't put your capital at risk. Because if you put your money, for instance, in a vehicle that's exposed to the stock markets or you know, other asset classes than cash, I don't want to get too technical, but the bottom line is you might get into a stage that over the short term, these things fluctuate quite a lot, those type of vehicles. And then you might be in a situation when you need your money for savings money that you are actually at a loss. So savings, short-term vehicles that you can access, and then you'll normally get an interest on that. Investments is a longer-term vehicle, and that means that anything from 5 years up, let's say you talk about investments, you can save towards retirement. Obviously, that's a 20, 25-year investment, depending on where you are at in terms of your age, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the big difference between savings and investments then is when you invest, you've got access, or you should access, other asset classes, which means that over the long term, you can take more risk and you should take more risk. Why? Because in the short term, it should be more volatile, but over longer periods, you will see a greater return on your money if you put it away in an investment rather than a savings. And I think that's the other mistake a lot of people do as well, is they are so afraid of taking risk that they invest their money in vehicles that's typically suited for savings, and then they save towards that, or invest rather for the long term in a savings vehicle. The problem with that is you will lose your purchasing power of your money against inflation. Why? Because you're not giving your investment an opportunity to grow. So in other words, is you're stuck in a too conservative asset class, which is cash. So you can't generate those returns that you need over the longer term to generate wealth in your investments.
Eddie, thank you so much for all this wonderful information. And maybe some of our readers will let us know how it worked out for them. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ina. Thanks for the opportunity. We discussed it before, and it's also something I'm very passionate about. And I think we need to get, you know, into a stage where we equip and empower our listeners and people to talk about these things more often, so that it becomes a more everyday type of discussion. And it's also, like I said, it's very similar to other goals and habits. Always demystifying some of the fears and the ideas they have around savings and investments, then I think we would also get more people to address that problem of not saving enough or not investing enough for their specific goals. But Ina, thank you very much from our side. It was really a privilege to contribute to this podcast today.